Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Oh, that's right. I had the mic way too loud there. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, why don't we try that one again? Welcome, everybody, to the most overworked 2 hours in talk radio, the most productive show in New Zealand, the most scumbaggery exposing extravaganza that you will hear with your listening eardrum places. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which according to the Prime Minister is good for the economy because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. Now, today we will be bringing on one of the heroines of the truth movement. She's not a heroine because she gets you really high. Although after you get off an interview with her, you do feel like you're withdrawing on some form of sense of peace of mind because she exposes so much of the privacy violations and this kind of thing. She's really, really diligent. Her name's Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and we'll be coming to her in about 20 minutes of this broadcast. Before we go to that, though, I wanted to apologize to the American Freedom Radio listeners. The stream has been down. There was a big power cut and what have you. But 10 minutes before my show, it comes back up. And that's all due to the hard-working diligence of the producer, Mr. Romero, back in the little board there. Big salute to you, sir, and your good, hard, diligent work and whatnot. Over the weekend, we had a protest against the GCSB. Anybody who's familiar with the NSA? Oh, wait, that's a Mexican pronunciation. It's pronounced the N, is it? And what was really interesting for me about this protest, let me see if I can get old John Key up there for you. What was really interesting about this protest is, like, not only is it kind of like 1984 New Zealand style, I mean, you people in America, you know this kind of stuff has been happening for quite some time, haven't you? Because it's just all over the place, you know? You've got the NDAA and all these kind of things happening. And it just seems like, I don't know, How can you really tolerate your government saying that all the citizens are basically terrorists, therefore they all need to be surveilled on? And what really sickens me is when these... I'm just going to go ahead and call them scum, because that's exactly what they were in the media and in the House. Here's this one line that they always, always, and I mean always, for the past like 100 years or something, every time they want to take away your rights and liberties to privacy, they say this: well, if you're doing nothing wrong, you got nothing to hide. Now, I don't know about you, but that smells like BS to me. It smells like a big steaming frickin' pile of it. You know why? You know why it smells like a big steaming pile of BS? Because it is! Some things are exactly as they appear. Here's the deal, okay? Professor Jane Kelsey, who's a at the Auckland University, okay, she's, you know, lecturer and law professor, so on and so forth. She's involved with a number of different activist projects, you know, against New World Order type privatization and against the New World Order controlled Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which is essentially just like the European Economic Community some time ago, which trades. Around, you know, free trade, right? What they do is they call it free trade and then they turn your country into a slave. That's basically what's going on here. And my perspective on this is very, very clear indeed. It's a big hoax so that they'll tempt you in with the possibility of your economy growing as a result of these trade deals. But what in actual fact is the agenda is to destroy your national sovereignty. Not to diminish it, not to change it a little bit, but destroy it entirely. Now, she's been involved with a number of action groups, and she got surveilled doing completely legal things, like researching into what the TPPA actually is. All right? So if you think that you're not going to be surveilled just because you're staying within the law, think again. You will be surveilled if you disagree with the government at any point about anything which they think is important. So if they want to take away your rights and you don't like that, you're going to start to get surveilled. If they want to destroy your economy and you don't like that, you're going to start getting surveilled. If you start up a business venture which threatens a multinational monopoly that has connections to the Prime Minister, you're going to get surveilled and raided. Okay? That is how this works. Get it through your frickin' heads! They're trying to enslave us! All of us. There is no ifs. There are no buts. Well, there's actually quite a few buts. They're all in Parliament. And there are no maybes. That is what's going on here. Anybody who does not realise that needs adult supervision. All right? I'm serious about this. If you believe that giving the government draconian power to surveil anybody it wants that threatens whatever agenda it's got, you need to go to a childcare center and tell them that you need supervision because you're that fucking stupid that even the things that are obvious in life don't mean a freaking thing to you. Okay, that's my assessment of the situation. And I used to look after autistic boys. Trust me, even they'd be against this bill. Why, under any circumstances, would you want that to happen? Okay, unless you're too stupid to think. Now, a number of journalists know that this is the case, but guess what? They ain't going to report on the damaging details. I've watched a number of videos on this. And dig this. This is the funny thing. TV3, in their infinite wisdom, the corporate TV3, which the current communications minister for the national government in New Zealand used to be the CEO of... Explain that one to me. Cut leads with a story. And you'll love this. Nationwide protest against the GCS bill. The GCSB bill. And what was the first statement that they made? Okay. First statement they made is, protesters clash with police. And what's the second statement they made? Rocks and bottles were thrown at police in Palmerston North. Okay. Now, doing a little bit of investigative journalism on my part, I think it might be the first time I've ever done it. I had a talk with the leader of the Palmy Panthers down in Palmerston North on the night of the story itself. I think maybe about less than an hour after the story aired. I interviewed him for about 15 minutes. And there were no bottles. There were no rocks. There were no clashes with police. I spoke to at least four other leaders of protests around the country, and I consider myself one of the leaders of the protests in Auckland, even though I wasn't even allowed to speak, because I'd talk about the New World Order and stuff like that, and I didn't want everybody to be tarred with the brush of being a conspiracy theorist who talks about freaking reality for some reason. That's frustrating. But there were no clashes with police. Anywhere. Anywhere. So the very first two statements of how the news covers the protest were complete and utter lies and fabrication. They're working for the government. That's my conclusion based on the evidence. Their former CEO is currently working for the government. That means they're working for the government. There's a number of other things that they've done along those lines, like giving the Prime Minister, quote-unquote, the Prime Minister's Hour on Radio Live, which is a MediaWorks-owned subsidiary. In the height, you guessed it, of election season. So, he's only on the air. He's like, I can't talk about politics because that's just knowing it because it's election season. Right, you're the Prime Minister talking on radio for an hour uninterrupted. And supposedly that's not going to be good for political expediency. My frickin' ass. You've got to be kidding me. These people are liars, okay, all the time. And the videos that I've posted about this protest, there's no editorializing. There's no summation by me. There is simply the speakers speaking. In full, not edited. And when I say not edited, I mean I haven't cut anything out or added anything in or chopped and changed things round to make them appear as I want them to appear. I had two camera angles, so I had my GoPro on my shoulder and had a lovely assistant filming from the other side using my other camera and cutting back and forth. So the videos are very watchable. They appear very professional, and you actually get all the information that they're talking about, not just a few minutes here or there cut together like they do. All right. Now, that aside, I've actually broken into the mainstream media this time during these protests. The John Key 1984 poster, which those on the video will be able to see behind me, made it into TV3 News. So that was good. That very story that I was talking to you about where they were completely full of BS. Yep. They managed to squeeze my this little banner in here, and that's made by my man Roy, who was incredibly diligent and did a lot of posters for these protests. And what I find really strange is that although the fact that these posters made it into the news, you know, there's just no explanation or anything like that. Like, they're there for a second or two, maybe. You know, because it's just, I've come to the conclusion that the mainstream media are completely bought and sold for. All right, they're bought and sold. That's it. End of frickin' story. They're working for the New World Order. Doesn't matter how nice a coverage you think they're going to give any particular issue. What I really get frustrated with is activists actually going to the mainstream media trying to get their stories released. They're not going to release it. Is it the truth? Yes. Is it really important for the country? Yes. Are we going to report on it? No. Of course not. If you're an activist and you want to get your story out, come to me. Okay? Please. Please come to me. I will get your story out. I will bring you on the live radio show. I will, if necessary, sit you down in front of a camera so you can read a 56-page dossier and stay up for three frickin' nights editing it so that your story can at least be made public and on radio. On YouTube. Even if, you know, millions of people don't watch it, which they freaking well should, at least it's out there. And I play my part in ensuring that those people who sacrifice so much in their lives for my freedom, for the freedom of my country, actually have at least somebody listening, as opposed to going to the mainstream media where you either get A, nobody listening at all, or B, even if they do cover whatever story you're bringing them, they'll demonize the living frack out of you and undermine everything that you're saying with their BS. It's what they frickin' do. Now, I won't do that. You know why? Because I'm not a scumbag. If you trust the media, you also need adult supervision. There are many daycare centres that will take you, I'm sure. March on down there. Excuse me, I trust the mainstream media. It's like, oh, you poor dear. Come on in here. We'll give you a glass of milk and a Monsanto cookie. There you go, son. Oh. I mean, come on. Have IQs dropped sharply at some point throughout history? You know, and the answer is actually yes. You know why? Because of public education, so that only the government propaganda will be taught to you. Like, for example, you can trust the government. You had to be pretty insane to believe that. You can trust police. You can trust judges. You can trust the media. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, you can trust doctors. Oh, my God. Your teachers know what they're talking about. Universities aren't funded by Colgate and biased towards fluoride. There's so many stupid things you can believe, isn't it? And, you know, what's really sad is that when you know that these things are a lie, everybody thinks that you're crazy for knowing the truth. Okay. Oh, you're killing me. No, really. Really. Killing me. We'll be right back after the break at theminieastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere. I suppose you really can't escape because you're under surveillance. We'll be right back.
The world we knew. Is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone with us.
Welcome. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Please, by the way, my bank accounts are dry. All right. Dry, like salami, and I've got my internet bill that just came in. That's $120, and rent that is due. That's $250, and we don't have money for food either. So that'd be like another $150 or something. So we need pretty much immediately, like around about $500. So if you could please. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com right now, like today, and chuck us a as big a donation as you can afford. And what I really need, more than just those one-off donations, is the recurring subscriptions. Okay, those are really, really valuable. It took me like 3 years. It took me about 3 years to get myself up to enough recurring payments where I didn't have to beg for money every other day. And unfortunately, PayPal cancelled that out, saying that I need to prove that I was a charity or something like that. I didn't know what I was doing when I set that stuff up, which was a real pain. And they locked away, I think there's about maybe $600 in that account, which they say that I won't be able to get back unless I prove that I'm a charity, which I'm not, and I already told them that. So they basically, they've stolen that money, and they're just sitting on it, accumulating the interest. You know, thank you, PayPal, you freaking scumbags. But in either case, I created a business PayPal, which won't have that problem. So please, by all means, go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and subscribe, clicking the little PayPal button. You can subscribe from anywhere from $1 to $100 a month. Doesn't matter. We'll give you commercial-free archives, and the commercial-free archives aren't that hard to find if you want them for free and want to trial them before you start giving something to the show. Okay, please, please help me. I need desperately your support right now, because people like the Prime Sinister, John Key, who's on the screen behind me for those of you watching the video, is taking this country's freedoms out, okay? Really, just taking them out, step by step, with the totalitarian tiptoe, as David Icke would say it. And there ain't no other media source in this country who is operating to this extent, to this level. And I'm not tooting my own horn here. Technically I am, but it's true, okay? When Muhammad Ali said, I'm the best boxer in the world, and I'll whip his ass, and that kind of thing, and I'll dance around, he won't land a blow on me. It wasn't because he was a narcissistic dude who was completely full of himself. It was because he was the best guy in the world, and he danced around and barely got a hand laid on him. Okay? I'm the Muhammad Ali of the New Zealand truth media. Okay? Please, bet on me. It's a safe bet. This is the rumble in the jungle, the thunder from down under, yo. I've got my mitts on, and I will be dealing the killer blows to the scumbaggery agents of the New World Order that are currently controlling this country. And I need, underline that, I desperately need your support in order to continue this fight. The one thing that really frightens me is that the activists who I have on this program, and the people who, particularly from New Zealand, that we have on the show, basically don't get a platform really anywhere else. And even if they do, like I say, it's reduced to a minute or two tops. That's if they don't just get reduced to a sound bite. You know, how are you gonna satisfy your hunger for the truth with only a soundbite here or there? Okay, we'll give you the whole truth sandwich to fill your belly up and digest that Shiite Muslim. This is the absolute best, in my opinion, and that might be a biased opinion, of course, alternative truth source in the country. Certainly, the most popular. And it's not for, because I'm, you know, so great and what have you. It's just because I show up and I do what's necessary. Okay, like I was pretty upset when I went to the GCSB protest and they didn't even give me a chance to speak to the crowd until the very end, when there was like a couple of dozen people left. You know? When I lent my megaphone and taped the microphones up front for them, because their sound system was so poor that the thousands of people that showed up, those at the back of the crowd, couldn't hear anybody speaking, and they actually tried to prevent me from helping them, and were really irritated that I was up on stage with them, putting microphones on the speakers so that they could be captured in high quality sound, and filming them from two angles so that I can get those things. Okay? I may not be appreciated by some people, but at the end of the day, I'm not doing it there. I'm not doing that kind of thing to get myself in the headlines or anything like that. I'm doing it so that these really important people who have suffered so much, exposing the drastically massive levels of scumbaggery in this country, I'm doing it for them. They may not even know who I am. They might not even care. But that's okay. All right? Somebody's got to help them get their message out. Mainstream media ain't going to do it. All of the other people in the crowd with their cameras and everything, they ain't going to do it. They barely upload any videos at all. And when they do, it ain't edited, it ain't done well, and it ain't put on a channel really of any significant following. So the responsibility falls to me, not because anybody's asked me to do it, but because I am compelled to do it, because my country needs me to do it. That people need their voices to be heard. And when you're the person in that position to give them that voice, if you do not take responsibility for that position, regardless of whether or not you're appreciated for doing it, it's a spit in the face of everything that you claim to stand for. And there's many people in this country that are like that, who have this ability and don't use it. I will never be one of those people. That's why I need you to go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and subscribe for a couple of dollars a month, $5 a month, either through the bank account, the Kiwi Bank account. And then if you can't do that, then there's a PayPal option available. Now, we'd like to get up our guest now, Catherine Albrecht. So if you've got her on the line there, AFR, just let me know. Or if, Catherine, you're on the line there, just speak up.
I think I'm right here. Hello. Good evening.
Yeah. I'm so glad to have you with me because, there's been a lot of scumbaggery going down in New Zealand to do with surveillance and what have you recently. And coincidentally, here's somebody who has, like, the goss on what surveillance and this kind of thing is. So Dr. Catherine Albrecht, it's my honor to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks. It's really delightful to be back on your show. And, you know, for 14 years now, I've been talking about the whole privacy issue. I have to say, it's been, you know, and you never want to say I told you so about bad things. You kind of hope that you're wrong. But a lot of the things that we've been warning people about for all these years, I think really thanks to the efforts of Edward Snowden and a really diligent media that's really, you know, turned over the rocks and been showing us what's going on, we're actually starting to see some awareness now for the first time in a long time.
What frustrated me about the Snowden story is the people that you would expect to be, you know, appreciating this kind of information, these kind of whistleblowers coming out saying, oh, he's just a distraction, oh, it's just BS, you know, if he was real, the media wouldn't cover him at all. It's like, no, the media can't cover up absolutely everything.
Yeah, and, you know, my experience actually with the media is that there are people within the media that have done tremendous work to expose things. I mean, you look at Watergate. I mean, you know, that's one of the biggest explosive stories that's ever taken place. You look at Wienergate. You know, that's happening right now, right here in the U.S., in New York. There are many, many things that journalists have helped to uncover and to expose. So I'm not a big fan of the mainstream media. I think in a lot of the chronic problems that face the country, but when it comes to the acute problems like this one, you know, I really think that we owe a huge debt of gratitude to the media. I'll give you one example. Back in 2007, I actually worked with the Associated Press with reporter Todd Lewin for over 6 months on a story that broke and took down the implantable microchip industry. This is the Verichip Corporation that was implanting microchips into the arms of diabetic patients and Alzheimer's patients, and we were able to put an end to it because we worked together, you know, kind of a whistleblower journalist relationship. And after 6 months of, you know, doing all of the due diligence and all the research, that major story broke, and it truly just decimated the corporation that was doing that. Their stock value went from $11 a share to like 24 cents a share, and they were delisted from the stock exchange. So, you know, there are times when the media really continues to be, you know, just an immense force for good. And I think it's one of the reasons why our privacy is so important. One of the first people to get surveilled and spied on and have pressure put on them are the members of the media. And so I think they're particularly sensitive to this because they rely on that kind of confidentiality and privacy and indeed secrecy of their communications, their sources, in order to be trusted enough with these kinds of stories to bring them to light. So I definitely think journalists, you know, they're the first people to to need private services, privacy services, and to need to be thoughtful about that.
The Prime Minister's Office of New Zealand recently called a journalist asking them to reveal their sources because they wrote an article exposing some basically crimes that the Prime Minister's office was committing. And tried to bully them into giving up their sources. And like a good chef, the journalist did not reveal their sources. And and the New Zealand military has just come out and published a public statement saying that journalists are in fact a threat to national security in New Zealand.
Of course they're going to say that. Yeah, absolutely they're going to say that. And yet, I think it was Alex Jones just today up on his website was talking about this this new report where they actually cited the Drudge report, too. I mean, talk about all the icons of modern journalism and really saying that there's a real, you know, that this bad news is popping up on the headlines of this alternative media. And the government of the United States is now saying, we've got to get there first. You know, we're not able, no longer are we able to cover up these kinds of stories. And we've got to get with the reality that we can't cover them up anymore. They are going to be exposed. And so our new tactic has to be getting there first and putting our spin on the bad news before the public gets a hold of it. And I thought that was very interesting that they're acknowledging that in this informational arms race, that they are losing. You know, they're not able to shut down the entire internet. The internet is almost like, it's like water. You put your hand and you block off one course of it, and then it just flows around you and goes a different way. It's virtually impossible to stop the free flow of information today. And let me give you just one example that I think is just so encouraging of this. I'm thinking even a couple of years back. Do you remember when the Iranian elections happened, and there was some shenanigans at the ballot box, or at least the public certainly believed that there was, and there seemed to be evidence of that. And the people of Iran, you know, a very oppressive regime, a very oppressed nation, they took to the streets and protested what was happening in that election, the outcome of the election. Well, the police went and cordoned off the area where this protest was occurring, and they told all the journalists that they had to leave. And so anybody with a camera, anybody with a microphone, anybody with a press badge, they were all forced to leave. Well, meanwhile, the police actually shot and killed a woman who was lying in a pool of blood on the ground. And that information would have never reached the mainstream 20, 30 years ago, ever. But because everybody in that crowd had a smartphone, they all had iPhones and Android phones and Motorola phones, they all snapped pictures and posted them up on Twitter. Within seconds, the entire world was able to see what was happening in Iran. And that's the kind of thing that, unless you're going to act like North Korea and take away every last shred of technology and make it a capital offense to own a cell phone, which is what does happen in North Korea, you know, unless you're willing to go to that level of oppression, you can't stop it. And I think that, you know, you look at Edward Snowden, you've got the entire FBI, you've got the U.S. government shaking their massive fist in his direction, but there's not a thing they can do about him. You know, the cat's out of the bag, it's done. When you mention your story in New Zealand, though, what I think is so disturbing about this is that the people who are accused of these crimes, and when the whistleblowers reveal the crimes and actually show the criminals red-handed, that there's this willingness on the part of the media or the public to let them reframe the conversation and blame the messenger and turn the whistleblower into the supposed criminal, and thus deflecting the attention away from their own crimes. And I think that's the big thing we're up against right now in the court of public opinion. People have got to stand by the whistleblowers and support them. Edward Snowden is a hero. He is not a traitor. And if you want to talk criminals, it's the people he exposed.
Indeed. And we'll be right back soon, ladies and gentlemen. Just remember, the person who kind of coined the phrase conspiracy theorist was Richard Milhouse Nixon, who called Woodward and Bernstein conspiracy theorists because they exposed him for being part of a conspiracy. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks.
Nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to run.
You can't make the stuff up. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show where there is nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. And my very special guest, the woman who has exposed the very scary, very chip, Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Now, what's your website again there, Dr. Catherine?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What's your website there again?
I've got a bunch of them. My daily radio show website is kmashow.com. You can also just find my name, KatherineAlbrecht.com, but that Albrecht has a CHT at the end, which is a little tricky, so kmashow.com. We'll get you right there. If you want to look at the information that we found in the implantable microchip, you can find that at antichips.com, and that's got the full report about these implantable microchips causing cancer. You can also see the protests that we did outside of the Alzheimer's Center down in Florida, where they were chipping 200 Alzheimer's patients. We got that stopped, as I mentioned, with the help of the mainstream media, the Associated Press. So that's all at antichips.com. And then I know in New Zealand, you guys have some horrible laws on the books about the chipping of dogs, requiring people to microchip their animals in many parts of New Zealand. I know at one point they were even talking about causing the entire nation of New Zealand to have to microchip all dogs in the country. And if you'd like to find out why that's an absolutely terrible idea, the basic facts, when you implant these microchips into animals, they develop fast-growing malignant tumors around the microchips anywhere between 1 and 10% of the time. And we know of dozens of dogs that have died from these tumors around their microchips, dogs that have bled to death from the chipping procedure. It's truly inhumane. It's absolutely awful. And you can find all of that research if you go to chipmenot.com. So we've been fighting the implantable microchips and the use of tracking microchips in products for many, many years now. I've been at this since 1999. And lest people become discouraged, I always try to focus on those victories. We got them to stop. No place, am I aware, anywhere on planet Earth right now is anyone promoting the microchipping of human beings with implantable microchips. And, you know, that's really the result. Once again, if a whistleblower working with mainstream media, Edward Snowden style, to really bring these things out into public view, and at that point, you know, they can't stand the light of day. So that's all the good news.
Do you believe that the mainstream media brings things out usually just when they're forced to because the alternative media covers it so much and leaves them in the dust?
You know, I don't think so. Let me tell you what I actually think about the mainstream media. I believe that there are, you know, within any profession, there's kind of a code of professional ethics. And there's sort of what they present to the public is what they want to be believed to be. And then there's what they present to one another is what they want to try to seem within their own professional circles. And then there's what they really are. And I think, you know, for example, you can use politicians. And let me contrast politicians and journalists because I think it's an interesting contrast. So if you look at politicians, on the surface, they try to seem to the public as though they are the defenders of justice and freedom and they're our representatives and they're going to help us to live better and you know, improve society.
I'm holding back the laughter here.
Exactly. So that's how they present themselves to us. But to one another, I don't think they even bother to try to uphold that facade. And this is why you get, you know, people like Nancy Pelosi and you know, Dianne Feinstein defending the actions of the NSA and really kind of playing that same old game of, you know, we're part of the political system to one another. But
apparently around Washington, if somebody says something that sounds like complete nonsense, they say, oh, that's a lot of Pelosi.
Yeah. That's a great phrase. I like it. So yes, definitely. But I think among themselves, there's a hey, let's get away with this and that. You know, we've seen evidence of little bits of that. You know, even things captured on camera and scandals that break, etc. Within journalism, it's a little bit different though, because within journalism, they portray to us this image that they're bringing us all the news, the real news, the unbiased news. But amongst themselves, there also is kind of a high standard that they do try to adhere to. And if they're not adhering to it, they try to hide it from one another. And I've noticed this is actually a pretty powerful cultural thing. I don't know if it comes from the schooling that they receive or if it's, you know, I mean, culture is a powerful thing within any profession. And within the culture of journalism, they view themselves and they want each other and us to view them as impartial breakers of real news, muckrakers. You know, this goes all the way back to the early part of the 1900s when journalism really was, you know, I mean, that's what they did. They broke up Tammany Hall. They, you know, these are all American references, but, you know, they broke up corruption rings and they exposed scandals. And I think even to this day, if you're going to be a famous journalist, you know, you mentioned Woodward and Bernstein, if you're going to be, you know, at the top of your journalistic game, it's because you're an investigative journalist who blew the lid off of something big, something scandalous. And, you know, I think even now that within that culture, that's what they all aspire to be and to do. And the only thing that really stops them from doing that is either they're not very good at their job or they're lazy, or more likely, the people at the very top of the journalistic organization are pulling the puppet strings. And that's when you get into the Bilderberger conferences, the Council on Foreign Relations. You can see where the power structures flow, where those folks want to control all of the media at the high levels and pull the puppet strings. But I don't believe that they control the individual journalists. And I think we still continue to see, you know, I probably the best way to think of it, the elite control the chronic journalism. And I do believe that journalistic ethics still control the acute journalism. You can kind of liken that to sort of like the patient has a disease. If it's diabetes or, you know, chronic overweight, then that's the creeping control of the people at the top pulling the puppet strings. You're going to see that seeping into every piece of news coverage and into the background of every single thing they write and do. But when it comes to an acute issue where there's a breaking news story right this moment, implantable microchips cause cancer, the NSA is violating the Fourth Amendment and secretly spying on people's phone calls, then at that point, I still do trust the journalistic community to jump into action.
And there's also another part of the culture is that discipline by your editors. There was a great story here in New Zealand exposing the wonderful uses of intravenous vitamin C on a man named Alan Smith, who was basically dead, and they brought him back to life using this vitamin C. And the medical profession tried to cover it up, whatever, but there's a journalist here for the New Zealand branch of 60 Minutes called Melanie Reed, and to her credit, she really, really did an amazing story and just kind of like blew it right open. And she told me privately that she got hounded and was threatened by her editors and producers for doing that.
I'm not surprised. There are journalists who've been fired, who've been, you know, you'll never work in this town again. It does happen, and I think it's when from the highest level that someone at the top says, yea, verily, we will never do a story on fill in the blank. And if at that point they try to buck the system, then I think you can get in trouble. I don't think there ever was at The Guardian, at the highest level, somebody saying, yea, verily, you will never do a story on the NSA. If there had been, then I think Glenn Greenwald probably would not have been able to do the story, and he would have had to go elsewhere to make it happen. So, you know, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right that there are taboo topics. You know, it's funny, on my own radio show today, I was just talking within academia, which is my background. I've got a doctorate in human development and psychology from Harvard University. And coming through that academic environment, there are certain things we're not allowed culturally within that culture to talk about. Great example being religious faith. You know, you mentioned, I mean, you're allowed to go to church on Sunday as long as you keep it to yourself. But the moment that you try to say anything about your actual belief system, which forms a huge part of the psychology of what a person even is, then at that point, you're blackballed. So once again, there are very powerful structures in place to keep people from talking about certain things. I'll give one more example. Within the judiciary here in the U.S., there is one of the stories I want to talk about during the show today is Andrea Hernandez, the 15-year-old honor student in San Antonio, Texas, who bucked the system and refused to wear their tracking microchip around her neck that they issued last year. And it's interesting because the judge who ruled on her case actually had formerly worked for the school district and had a massive conflict of interest. He's a federal judge. And they brought this to the attention of their attorneys. They brought it to the attention of other attorneys, and nobody would touch it with a 10-foot pole. And finally, I asked a good liberty-loving, freedom-loving attorney friend of mine who's done a lot of great work, and I said, why won't they bring this up? This judge should have recused himself, and, you know, they should appeal because he's totally, totally in bed with the school district. And she said, Catherine, there is not an attorney anywhere in the United States who will go up against a federal court judge. And I said, why not? The evidence is right there. She said, yeah, but they will blackball you, and you will lose your license. You cannot fight them. And, you know, things like that where there's a power structure going on that you can't buck. And every profession has one.
Yeah, and it comes down to the point that, look, if you're used to driving around in a European car, living in a upmarket apartment, having enough expendable income so that you can drink top-shelf liquor every night and purchase any drug you really want, and then somebody tells you, please cover this story because it's really important to the country, and then you know that you will lose all of that if you do.
Absolutely. Money, money, money. Yes.
All right,
this
now,
time.
Journalists, this is a question to you. I mean, I know that most of you don't listen to the show because, basically you've got other agendas to follow. But at the end of the day, make a decision. What is more important to you, money or your freedom? Make a decision, okay? And make a decision with some conviction, because if you don't actually have any courage to follow your convictions through to their logical conclusion, then you are about as valuable as that fiat currency that you love so much. That is not a value that I am familiar with. I mean, I my last paycheck was like nearly 15 grand. And then here I am on the bones of my behind doing the right thing just because it's the right thing. We'll be right back after the break with Dr. Catherine Albrecht, ladies and gentlemen. Back in a minute.